Hey guys, this is Tia from yourlifeyourway.net, and today I'm talking to Jacob from sansafee.com. This is interview number 13 in the Your Life Your Way entrepreneur interview series. So let's have Jacob introduce himself to us.
Hey guys, how you doing? My name is Jacob. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to connect with you and talk more about what's going on. So again, just appreciate being here.
All right, great. So I've been following your blog, and first of all, the design is absolutely killer. I love how it looks. And secondly, I think the work that you're doing is just so passionate and so inspiring. And I know you've just recently written a book about finding your purpose as well, which I'll tell you right up front, I'm really jealous that you wrote it because I wanted to write that book. I seriously did. And I saw that and I went, oh, great. Somebody beat me to it. But it looks really great. So I wanted to ask you a few questions about what inspires you? What are you really passionate about? How did you find your passion, and get going with it? So let's start with one.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that the reason that you saw the book and you were like, shit, I wanted to write that was probably because at some point in your life you really didn't know what the hell you were here to do, right? You didn't know what your purpose was or what your meaning was or how to be excited about life. And I'm playing psychic here, but is that right on any level?
No.
No, of course not, Jacob. Well, for me that was the case, right? It was like I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Why? What am I here? Like, what is the meaning of all this, right? So, for me, that was it. It was like I knew I was doing the right things. I was doing the things that society said I should be doing, you know? And the funny thing is, I thought I should be doing them also. If I would have asked my 15-year-old self, hey, Jacob, when you're 23 years old, you're gonna be doing, you know, you're gonna have this apartment, you're gonna have this car, you're gonna have this job, you're gonna be in that position, I would have been like, awesome, man, I'm crushing it. So I had all these things that I thought I wanted that society told me I should want, and I had them, and there was something missing there. There was a deeper calling that hadn't been answered. And so living on purpose was, you know, basically the guide for myself 3 years ago, for the person who's in that position doing the right things, but deep inside they know there's more to life. They know that there's more to be, there's more to do. They're not excited. They're not fulfilled. So that's essentially who the guide is for.
So here's a question, and of course I've been there. God, I can't even tell you how many years it took me going down the wrong path, going down the path that I think I should have gone, or what others wanted from me. Because I grew up in India, and that's what it's like in India. You do the right thing, you get a good job, you go to grad school, you know, you kind of toe the line. Some a bit of a black sheep, and in, not really, but I'm definitely. Been quite rebellious about all that. I mean, on one hand, it was what society wanted me to do, and I thought, well, that was the only way to get happiness, because that's what I was told, right? You do X, Y, Z, and then that's the path to happiness. But you look at the people that are on that path, and they're not really that happy. So yeah, it took me a long, long time to figure out what I really wanted. But you know what I found? I found that the stuff that I wanted when I was a kid, when I was really, really young, is the stuff that I'm now coming back to. And that's something that I don't think we get, I don't think it's nurtured enough in children. Like, for example, whatever you were really, really passionate about as a kid, I mean, not just that I want to be an astronaut, an actor, or something, but there is something that you wanted as a child that you probably have come back to today. So, is there anything in your history like that? Is there something that you're doing now that's related to your passions as a kid?
No one's ever asked me that question before, so I have to think about it. You know, I think as a kid I did a lot of exploration. I was a very adventurous and independent and troublemaking kind of kid, and I was just out fucking up and doing things. And when I say, you know, screwing up, I mean by the what I should be doing as a 10-year-old standards, right? So I was just out and I was, I guess, seeking thrill, seeking something beyond what I knew. You know, I was looking to expand as a 10-year-old, right? And yeah, really, as no, really, that was the kind of stuff. Like, I used to go to different neighborhoods, and I had a graffiti website when I was like 13 years old of New
Oh
York
my.
City graffiti. Yeah, and so I used to go into all these like bad neighborhoods, like the Bronx and deep parts of Brooklyn, with this like $500 digital camera that was like the size of like my mouse pad over here. It was like humongous, and you know. And I used to document that. So, you know, there's part of the art stuff in there, but another part of it is just like the adventure and the growing and the learning more on my own terms, not by what, yeah. I mean, I learn best from real life, from what's actually, from what I can experience. I love to intellectualize and conceptualize and philosophize and all these awesome long words. But ultimately, I love to embody that, to live it, to experience it, and then to you know, talk about it. So
sensifies.
Then to sensifies about it. So yeah. So I think that's it. Like exploration, whether it's traveling and you know into other countries or just expanding inward, traveling inside. It goes both ways.
Yeah, and that an expansion as well, right? That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
So how did you find your path? Because I'm a little envious because you're in your 20s, right? And you already know what you want to do and you found your purpose. And it took me until my 30s to figure all that out, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think that, okay, so you kind of just called me out over here. One is I am in my 20s. I'm 26 years old at this moment right now. But I don't think that there's ever really one path. Like, I don't think that I found my path. I feel like I found my purpose, but my purpose is more of a guiding star, and that guiding star is more like a compass, and it's just going to lead me, and wherever I end up, whatever direction I go, I'm just going to know, okay, well, these are the things, these are my values, these are my strengths, these are my passions, this is how I operate best in the world, this is how I know myself, this is what I know about myself, and all these things I think determine personally our, you know, our purposes and how we travel the most purposeful path.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And I love that you're talking about the North Star, because Martha Beck, who's a coach that I tremendously admire, wrote a book called Finding Your Own North Star and another one called Steering by Starlight. And those are pretty much my Bibles, because you're right, it's not about this is my purpose and this is what I'm going to do till the day I die. It's never like that, because it changes, it evolves as you evolve and as your life experiences change. And you kind of, as long as you know the direction you're going in and you're following that star, you can be assured, well, you're not going to be happy all the time, but you will be fulfilled.
Exactly.
And that's truly important. I read a report somewhere, I think it was a Harvard study, and maybe it was one of the books that I read, and they said that the two things that the happiest people in the world have in common aren't money and having everything they have, but having a goal and making some progress towards it. So not having achieved the goal, but having the goal and making some progress towards it. So how does that relate with finding your purpose and all this great stuff?
I love it. Yeah, I read an awesome book that said something really similar by a Harvard psychologist named or professor called Tal Ben-Shahar. So he's one of the main players in the positive psychology movement, which is really cool. That's a whole other subject. But what he says, which really I've adapted as my own philosophy, is like happiness is not about the destination. You know, it's not about reaching the top of the mountain. Nor is it just, or he says it's not only is it about that, nor is it only about the journey of climbing up the mountain. It's about both. It's about the journey of climbing towards a goal that's worthy of us achieving. You know, it's about the journey and achieving it. So, yeah, living on purpose, absolutely, completely, have to make sure that what we're going for is worth going for, and then don't become super obsessed about getting there, but, you know, enjoy the process of traveling, you know?
Yeah. So what does that look like for you? What does living on purpose look like for you?
Personally, in my life, at this moment, right now?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Sensify is a humongous part of that. Sensify was the answer to... What are my strengths, which were design related and computer related? I just came from an IT background, so I had I've been doing websites since I was 13 years old. So what are my strengths? You know, writing and that and these kind of things. And then what are my passions? So personal development and travel and expansion and these kinds of things. And then where can I then combine those to give service to the world? You know, to provide value, to do other things. And Sensify was the answer. It was a way to inspire and empower people, and that's hopefully, and I trust, valuable. And then also my personal values as far as, you know, autonomy and being able to live the lifestyle that I want, those all come into play. So Sensify is kind of like this concoction of creating my ideal life, my extraordinary life of doing what I love and ideally getting paid to do that.
I totally love your website. It's so beautiful. Did you design it yourself?
Yes and no. The cool thing about doing passionate work, like, you know, when there's a heart in what you do, is that people are always really eager to help because they feel that heart there.
Yeah.
So for Sensify, the bulk of the design I did myself, but like the header was a donation, and a couple other times people have just been like, you know, hey, is there any way I can help? And I'm like, what did you say you do again? Oh yeah, sure, you can help, no problem. So it's community design.
Yeah, all right, cool. That was just a question I threw in there because I wanted to steal your site, but anyway, moving on. So what inspires you?
What inspires me?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the most poetic way to say this, but what inspires me? Growth, removing limiting beliefs. What inspires me? Unrealistic things inspire me. Seeing an airplane in the sky inspires me. Seeing two airplanes in the sky today as I walked home from the gym, I just looked up and said, man, if they can just fly that airplane through the sky, why can't I get paid to do what I love? Like that, I'm
so simpler, right?
Yeah, I was walking home from the gym literally, and I looked up. I love the moon inspires me. Looking around at nature inspires me. Anything that at one point has been called unrealistic is tremendously inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Anything really. I mean, it can be as simple as like even a building. I'm on a fourth floor building right now, and I think sometimes that if I was, you know, if I was transported to a time in the world when they didn't know how to build buildings, how would I explain to someone how to build a building? Because I know nothing about architecture or construction, and I'd have to convince the civilization of people, like, but no, wait, we can build a building. Like, it's, and they would think I'm nuts. They would think I'm a complete lunatic. Like, well, how are you going to build a building? Like, what? How is it going to hold up? Like, I don't understand at all how I'm in this building that I'm in right now, how the foundation is laid, how the pipes work, how the internet works, how all this shit works. And I use it and I accept it as normal and real. And to me, that is extremely inspiring when you stop back and stop and step back and look at it and say, holy shit, like this is an amazing structure, and we're just continuing to build on top of, and not just in the building, but in life, on top of other people's unrealistic accomplishments. So it makes me just know deep inside that although it may not manifest this day or tomorrow or next year, but ultimately I can create an extraordinary life that may seem unrealistic if I'm, you know, if I abide by the right wisdom, you know, being patient and persistent and having a good freaking heart and these kind of things. So,
if you think about it, the first person that, or the first building that came up, who even imagined it? Who thought about it? Right? Yeah. Everything has to start with being completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
So. I was getting a bit distracted there. I have a question here for you. Did you have a lot of passions? And if so, how did you know which one to follow? And the reason I ask this is because I write about being a scanner, being a sparkler. So that's multi-passionate people.
Yeah.
Da Vinci, who are so good at so many things, who have so many passions, sometimes they either don't get started or... they'll start things but not finish them, or they'll say things like, I could do anything if I only knew what it was, or scanners feel like they're in this time panic. We have so many things that we are passionate about, but we worry if we pick one, we'll have to forget about the others, and we try to do it all, and we end up doing nothing. So did you experience anything of that sort? Did you know, boom, this is it, or as you were following your North Star?
I think it was actually somewhat yes and no. Like there's two different ways I'm gonna approach this. So the first thing was that I walked away from everything I knew, and I let go. I, like most people, they cling to security. Everyone does it, it's normal. You know, we cling to security, and we don't even realize we're doing it. So we cling to what we know. We cling to the familiar. We no one really likes change, no matter how much they say they do, or a select few of people, you know, entrepreneurs and, you know, these kind of peoples may embrace change, but I think as a gut, you know, we're not prone to like change. So essentially I let go. I let go of everything. I left my job. I left what I knew behind, and I just said, I don't know what the next step is. And it was kind of nuts for me to do it, you know, unrealistic for me to do it. I don't know what the next step is, but I know I need to take a step in some direction. So I left my job and I went to Hawaii for 6 weeks, and I just chilled. And I just said, okay, I have 6 weeks to do whatever the hell I want. Let's see what I want to do. And the things that I found myself spending without putting the pressure of producing something on myself by just saying, I just want to hang out and see what happens. And I'm I think, motivated by nature. I'm not the type of guy who's just going to sit on a couch and drink, you know, 2 40-ounce beers and watch movies all
really?
day.
You're not
at this section of my life, you know, maybe when I was 10 years old, but so now I just let myself chill, and I said, okay, well, what is it that when I'm just chilling that I want to do? What is it that's calling to me? And
yeah.
it was growth, it was wisdom, it was knowledge, personal development, expanding, learning what it takes to be a better man, learning what it takes to be a better human being. These kind of things. Photography was also interesting. Travel, exploration. So those were, I would say, the passions that presented themselves to me 2 years ago when I had the opportunity. But then how did I choose which ones to follow? And the answer was, I chose them all. I chose Sensify. And Sensify ultimately is the combination of everything I'm passionate about. I mean, I can, it's a blog, and this is what I loved about it. When it started, it was a blog that was personally branded. So the brand was myself, and that meant that anything that I was interested in fit under the, you know, into the scope of the brand. Now from a business perspective, that may or may not be the best route for everyone to take, but for me, that was my way of saying, like, okay, I love taking pictures, cool, I'm gonna post pictures up on Sensify. And if you go back a year and a half ago, you'll see a bunch of, you know, photo entries and just weird things that don't really fall under the Sensify, you know, the way it's branded
right
now.
But that sounds like, instead of focusing on, I'm a photographer, I'm a blogger, you went with the experience, I am looking for an extraordinary life. And so it's kind of like an umbrella, and you can fit anything under that, right? If you want an extraordinary life, it means doing whatever you want to do in all these different areas, so you can kind of bring them all together like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that that's part of it. I didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't have that one thing like, okay, this is only going to be about 1800 philosophy. You know, we're going to only talk about Ralph Waldo Emerson on this blog. It was like, no, that was interesting, but so was taking pictures, and so was my trip, you know, to Spain 3 months later. So I wanted to fit that all in, and to me, it just fit under, like, you know, creating an extraordinary life, which is different for everybody, but for me, that's what it reflected.
So what are the biggest challenges that you faced in getting your business and your blog off the ground, or basically doing your own thing, living your life your way? Biggest challenges / fears, and how did you get past it? Or how do you, because you might still be.
Yeah. I think validation was a huge one. You know, seeking validation, I think, was a pretty big one for myself. It's hard because the people that are closest to us are sometimes the people that are going to hold us back the most, and they don't mean to do it. It's not a selfish thing. It's not that they don't want the best for us.
Yeah.
But number one is they're living in this realistic mindset of what, you know, their reality looks like. And when you want to do something that's outside of that reality, they're going to yell and scream at you. No, you can't do that. You're going to get hurt, because if you do it, then you shatter their vision of reality. You understand, right? So if I go out and I do something that my friend says I can't do, really all I'm doing is proving to him it can be done, and then he feels like shit because he didn't have the courage to go out and actually do it himself if it's something that he would have wanted to do. So for me, I think that was a big one, avoiding the trap of validation and figuring out how to deal with family and friends who just said, dude, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. Like, how can you leave this job? How can you not know what you're going to do? How can you do this and that? And one of the really valuable lessons I had to learn was, it's totally possible to love someone, especially a family member. It's totally possible to love someone when they don't get you and when they don't understand what you're up to, you know, because for me, at first it caused a bit of heartache because I was like, how can you not understand what I'm doing? Like, this is awesome. Well, one is that there was, I think, two phases to it. One is that I wanted to prove to people that what I was doing was good. So I've tried to get them to see things my way. And I said, no, but don't you understand, like, if you stop eating meat, you're going to have all this extra energy, and you can use that extra energy to, like, do the... So I think I was, like, trying to say, okay, like, my way is not the right way, but at least, like, at least acknowledge that my way is a good way. Maybe not for you, but for me. And I think I was looking for that.
Yeah.
First, and then I realized, okay, well, I have to stop looking for validation from people, because the world is not going to validate us for living a healthy life. The world is, like, especially, like, you know, I'm in America over here, it's not a healthy place by design. Like, when you start out in the school system, they're feeding you hot dogs and hamburgers and milk. It's all complete crap. Sorry to go off on a tangent over here. But really what I'm saying is that we have to take control of our own lives and say, okay, this is right for me. No matter what society says, you know, this is, I've made my own decision based on wise reasoning, not on, you know, conforming to a herd of sheep. And this is right. So I think the first step for me was, I was trying to prove people that what I was doing was right. And then the second step, the second phase of it, was I was just really excited about life. And I was like, yo, but okay, so maybe, like, I'm not trying to get them to see it my way, but I still wanted to talk to them about, like, yeah, so my blog just got, like, you know, 2,000 people today about this unrealistic topic, and it inspired this person to start a business, and that person told me that now, like, and I just wanted to share that because I was so excited about what I was doing in my life that I wanted to share it. And those were two big mistakes. Because when you go out and you create a life of purpose and you create a life of meaning, you're not going to be doing the norm, and people who are doing the norm they're just not going to get it.
You're threatening them, right? And you know, you don't intend to, but you're threatening their existence and bringing up feelings in them that make them go, I'm not living a life of purpose, and I don't want to feel this way. I just want to avoid this. And so when they see you doing what you're doing and brings up these feelings in them, they hate it. And so they try that's why I think family and friends that have been with you for a long time will try and stop you from doing things, because you're upsetting the apple cart, the boat, you know, the status quo. And
yeah,
they're either going to have to change along with it or not change and look at you and keep thinking about what could have been. So that's really hard for the person that's changing as well as for the person that's around them. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I would say that's, it sounds like you've had quite a bit of dealing with that yourself. But for me, that's been a big one. Big challenge.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, I think humans have two big needs, and validation slash appreciation is definitely one of them. I'm not talking about the basic needs, survival needs and anything, but yeah, people cannot live in isolation by themselves. Life is all about relationships, right? So if we're talking to each other, I want you to think I'm a cool person. You want me to think that you're a cool person.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm getting there, but you know, we got time. Don't worry.
Well, my point is that that's definitely one of the hardest ones. Not just being validated internally by your own self. And that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of looking at who you really are. It takes a lot of acknowledging the dark side in you as well as the light side in you. Because, and I'm going totally off topic as well, but the point is that, yeah, like, it takes a lot of personal growth, self-development kind of work, and self-actualization. That's really, really scary for people. So somebody like you who quits his job and who wants to live this extraordinary life, that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage, and it's really, really important, if you don't have immediate family that supports you, to at least have a network of people. You know, maybe people who've done what you've done, what you're doing, and people who can inspire you in some way or the other. So in a sense, like, I think when you become an entrepreneur, you also start creating your own family. You start changing the environment around you to people who are actually successful and supportive and who get what you're doing, right?
Absolutely, yeah, that's huge. And then, so one of the things, like, so people I hear sometimes, they say, like, okay, you've got balls. How are you going to quit your job? Or, like, you've got this courage. Like, how did you manage that? I could never do it. And I think one thing people don't understand is that it was the pain of staying where I was greater than the risk of going into the unknown. So it wasn't like I'm this, like, big, courageous, like, I can do anything, I'm the most confident guy in the world. It was like, no, it hurt too much to stay there doing what I was doing. it was just too much pain to continue on like that. I had to do something, so much so that I didn't even know what the hell I was going to do, but I just took a step in a direction because I had to. And so for some people who may not be in that pain listening to this, they may kind of feel it at times. And that's kind of the worst, is I think, was when we just is when we feel the pain and it's not enough to make us want to change, but it's definitely there and it hurts us. I think that's the worst. And I don't want to wish anyone has more pain in their life, but sometimes that's what they need in order to change.
Yeah.
So I think one of the ways to deal with that is, okay, well, look at your life now and then look at, if you were to continue to do what you're doing as you've been doing it now for the next 10, 20 years, look at where you're going to be in 20 years if you continue to live life the way you're living it now. And think about that every morning when you wake up. Think about that every night when you go to bed. And make yourself feel that pain right now. Like, make it, because otherwise you're going to wake up in 20, 30 years resenting yourself for not creating a life that you love, or whatever the situation is. In this case, my case, finding and living your purpose.
I totally agree with that. Like, you either change when you're really, really ready to change and you want to, or when the pain of not changing becomes way harder than the pain of changing. Because the thing about change is, we don't, like you said earlier, it's hard to change. And that's because even if it's a positive change, like if you say, I'm going to start going to the gym and get really healthy, it's hard to do it because we're so comfortable with what's familiar, and the unfamiliar that's out there could be 10,000 times better than your reality right now, but because you don't know it, it's still a big struggle to get out there. So what would you say to somebody watching this that's wondering how to take the next step, or that feels like they're really stuck somehow and don't know? Because I have so many people that say to me, I don't know what my passion is. In fact, somebody in the scanner post that I wrote just wrote that and said, I asked a few questions and said, you know, what's something that you can do that you completely lose track of time doing, or what would you do if you had $1 million? And she couldn't come up with much. So if somebody says I have no passion or purpose, what would you say to them?
By my guide. It sounded horrible. But yeah, I mean, I essentially just wrote the guide on that, right? Living on purpose, an uncommon guide to finding, living, and rocking your life's purpose. So I mean, I think that's a great start. What else would I say? Yeah, spend time. I mean, you set it off, right? That's where we go. We start with the quality questions. Like,
yeah.
Really, it requires a level of introspection that people are uncomfortable with, you know, because it's just not normal. No one appreciates, society doesn't appreciate us paying attention to ourselves, because when we do, we break, you know, what society says we should be doing, because we realize that it's not necessarily right. So for someone who doesn't have clarity over what they're passionate about, what their purpose is, go out and live. Experience life. Do something new. Do things you've never done before. Travel to places you've never been. Try activities that you've never done. Even if they don't seem appealing to you, try them anyway. Go rock climbing. Go skateboarding. Whatever the hell it is, just become alive. Because when we do these things that we haven't done before, we wake up. It snaps us out of our comfort zone. It snaps us out of our zombie mode daydreaming, and we become alive.
Uh-oh. I like that. And so many people think that becoming alive and living an adventurous life is all about selling your stuff, you know, putting everything in 8 boxes and traveling around the world, because that's just me. That's what I do. But you can be adventurous just staying in one place. It could be, you know, eating something different for lunch, or taking a different road to work, or just so many different things that you can do. Like you said, take a class, you know, go take a drumming class one day a week, something of that sort. There's so many ways to be adventurous and to really live and be alive exactly where you are without changing everything and turning your life upside down. And I think that's one of the reasons that many people are scared to make big changes, because they think it means, oh, I'll have to lose my security and completely change everything. But that's not how it is. We're not really saying, hey, everybody, pack your bags and, you know, go live in Thailand or somewhere. Some of us will do that, but that's not what everybody has to do at all. You can still find excitement and adventure in every day.
Yeah, awesome. What in the guide, one of the things I write about as far as finding your passion is, the word passion used to scare me, because I thought passion was only for a selective group of people. Like, I couldn't have a passion. I'm not a passionate guy. But it's not true. Like, anybody can be passionate about anything. The key is finding for you what individually you're passionate about. Right. So I used to think, like, passion was only for, like, pop icons and porn stars and like this like real big elusive culture that I could never enter. But then we stop back, I stop back and I'm like, wait, hang on. Look at Bill Gates. The guy is like the biggest dork in the world. You know, he sure got like his lunch money stolen and punched in the glasses when he was a kid. But he's a passionate guy. He's passionate yeah. about philanthropy. He's passionate about yeah. computers. He's passionate about technology. So you don't need to be a rock star jamming out on stage to be passionate. And that for me, that was big.
Exactly. And it's kind of like with me, it was creativity. When I was, I think about 10 or 11, I failed in drawing class. Yeah, I failed in drawing class. And I stopped drawing after that. The only thing I ever did was doodles when I was talking on the telephone, doodling along. But for the longest time, like for 20 years after that, I thought, wow, I'm not a creative person at all. Because I thought creativity meant you had to be an artist or a sculptor or, you know, one of those traditional definitions of what creativity is. And it was only in the last, say, 5 or 6 years that I realized that every single person on this earth is born creative, is creative, and will be creative to the day they die. You can be creative in the way you do your house up, in the way you dress, in the way you talk, in the way you move. Like, creativity has nothing to do with arts as such, you know? So it's kind of the same thing. Passion is for everybody, and we are all creative as well. That was a big, big sort of learning moment for me right there.
I love it. Yeah, you know, I had a similar one recently as far as creativity, because that was another thing for me maybe 2 years, 3 years ago, that I didn't consider myself a creative type, although I had, you know, some art history in me, and but I still just felt like I wasn't creative the same way that I felt like I wasn't passionate. And just maybe a month ago, I was thinking about creativity, and it was an epiphany I had at the moment, which right now is not going to seem as enlightening as it did to me at the time, but ultimately, I felt like, you know, we are creation. Like, that's purely what we are. I mean, it's the universe, we're part of that, and it just created us. So we have in us whatever the universe had in it to create us. And I mean, I'm getting a little poetic over here. But yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like, wait, I'm a part of this universe, which ultimately is creation. And I'm not a super spiritual guy. Like, you know, I'm spiritual, I meditate this and that, but I'm not like, you know, all like woo-woo. But yeah, that's what it felt like. Was like, wait a second, I'm part of this universe. This universe is just one big creation. I'm part of that creation. I can tap into this, not in necessarily a spiritual way, although maybe, but I can just tap into this in my life. Like, the same way the universe creates, I can create also. And at the time, it felt really empowering to have that epiphany.
Yeah, that's an awesome, amazing feeling. My wish is that everybody feels that way. Everybody watching this feels that aliveness, feels that passion and that creativity, and looks into their own life to see that it is already there. They just need to find it and bring it out to the fore, right? So I think this has been an awesome talk. It was supposed to be 15 minutes, we're at 30 minutes now, but I wanted to tell people about the surprise gift that we have for them here. So yeah, Jacob's given away 3 copies of his fab new book, the one that I wish I'd written. You probably got into my head and wrote it anyway.
I think so.
So if you want to win a copy of that book, just leave a comment. Just tell us, I don't know, anything. What are you passionate about? Or what?
It's awesome.
Just leave a comment and say you want the book. And I think we'll give it a week and probably just, pick out 3 people in the next week, maybe Friday. So this is going to go live on Wednesday. Anyway, we'll do... I'll write all the stuff below and edit the stuff out.
Okay.
Okay, but that was really, really awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your passion and all the work that you've been up to. It's really inspiring. I know many people watching will be pretty inspired by it as well.
Yeah, cool. Well, my pleasure. Thanks so much for connecting and just taking the time to talk today and sharing your experience and your wisdom. Appreciate it.
Oh, before we go, do you want to just tell people your website, Deets, and your Twitter ID so they can get in touch with you if they need to?
Absolutely. Well, screw Twitter and screw my website. Just call me on my phone, right? 347-398-2814. I'm located in New York right now, so it's an American area code, which is just the 1 in front of the number. And if you do want to email me, jacob@sensifi.com, and sensifi.com is my website. Jacob Sokol is on Twitter. All my contact information is on my It's on my my website. Everything short of my social security and credit card numbers, you'll find there. So.
We have ways to make you talk. All
Nice.
right, cool.